Okay.
So then duties of a leader. This is Srimad Bhagavatam 4.14.19. O Noble One, if the king sees that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the original cause of the cosmic manifestation, and the super soul within everyone, is worshipped, the Lord will be satisfied. Purport. It is a fact that the government's duty is to see that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is satisfied by the activities of the people, as well as by the activities of the government. There is no possibility of happiness if the government or citizenry have no idea of Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the original cause of the cosmic manifestation, or if they have no knowledge of the Bhutabhava, who is Vishvatma, or the Supersoul, the soul of everyone's soul. The conclusion is that without engaging in devotional service, neither the citizens nor the government can be happy in any way. At the present moment, neither the king nor the governing body is interested in seeing that the people are engaged in devotional service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Rather, they are more interested in advancing the machinery of sense gratification. Consequently, they are becoming more and more implicated in the complex machinery of the stringent laws of nature. People should be free from the entanglement of the three modes of material nature. And the only process by which this is possible is surrender under the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is advised in Bhagavad Gita. Unfortunately, neither the government nor the people in general have any idea of this. They are simply interested in sense gratification and in being happy in this life. The word nija shasane, in his own governmental duty, indicates that both the government and the citizens are responsible for the execution of Varnashram Dharma. Once the populace is situated in the Varnashram Dharma, there is every possibility of real life and prosperity both in this world and in the next. So reading this, basically we would come across the element of... Okay, it's saying we should be Krishna conscious. So we've heard that, been there, done that, right? So now we have to get down to something practical, you know, something straightforward. But if we look at it, that's what it's saying. That's the essential point. But the detail of it is actually here. We know here it says, O Notable One, if the king sees that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that's the Bhagavan aspect of the Lord, the original cause of the cause of manifestation, that's the Brahman element, and the Supersoul, the Paramatma, within everyone is worshipped, the Lord will be satisfied. So it's saying it's the government's duty to see that the citizenry is trained in being able to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead in three manifestations in their life. Right? Otherwise, we take it government, what they do is they, you know, push papers around and make resolutions and stuff like that. Go out with their police and, you know, enforce things. And that's government. No, the government's business is seeing that the people are trained and are able to practice seeing the Lord in three features, in Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. And if they can't, it's the government's fault. Like that. That's what they're supposed to do. Like that. It says the Lord will be satisfied if the king does this. If he doesn't do this, he won't be satisfied. Simple. Right? So we have to understand here is that there is no material solutions to the material world. Because there is no such thing technically as material world. Right? There is a world that is made up of God's inferior energy. But it's only mundane because we don't see it in connection with the Lord. So it's our illusion that makes it mundane. Right? Otherwise, it's just an inferior manifestation of God's creation. Right? So there can't be a material solution, a material process, because materialism is created by illusion. So illusion will not solve illusion. That's the point. Illusion cannot solve illusion. So what it has to be that it's God conscious. That is then very thoughtful, right? Whatever you do, right, you have to work within a field. You have a particular field. Like if here, we're working in administration, so there are certain things that make it administration. Right? So that is your field of activity. Within that field, then you use your intelligence how to connect that to Krishna. Right? It's not some other process. This idea that, well, okay, there's all this, and then there's something else. That is an illusion. There is not something else. All there is Krishna. Krishna said he is everything. Right? The interaction of everything with itself, you know, based on the desire of the material, the living entity, that is Paramatma. Right? He's in the heart. He's taking care of everything. He's seeing that everything is running. So, what is outside of that? Everything you see is Krishna, and everything that's going on is Krishna. So what is left that we can have another material plan to solve? Right? That's the point. Krishna is such a... He has already taken up everything. Like Bali Maharaj, he thought, this is, you know, my kingdom, and I'm going to take over the rest of the universe. Right? But Vamanadeva, in two steps, already took over all that and more. He poked his toe through the universe. Right? That's according to Purusha Shukta. Purusha Shukta then says that God has expanded to the universe and then 10 fingers beyond. Right? So that would mean this much more. Right? Just to show. Right? The whole universe and then 10 fingers more. So this is the Lord. So he's already taken up everything. So there's nothing left for us to say, no, but there's this little corner here. Right? That's why it's so important in modern religions that one deifies God. Right? Deification means that you maintain the glorious, transcendental, supremely pure position of God, but basically neuter him that he can't actually do anything. He's a nice guy, but actually, he doesn't get much done. You know, he's not really a practical God. Right? He's made this creation, then he lost control of it. Or he didn't lose control, but then, you know, one of his angels rebelled and then took over a portion of it. So he's in control of it. In any case, God's not actually doing much. Then it leaves room for speculation. Right? But in the Vedic literature, it doesn't leave that room. God already says he is everything. Right? We're discussing this just so that we understand the field of activities of administration and management. It has to be considered the Krishna conscious element. And we mean technical, right? Because if we claim the manager is on the top, that means should the brains be on the top or the sentiment be on the top? What should be on the top? Right? So I would expect we'd say brains, right? So brains means you have to use them. And this is one of the ways to use them. We say, oh, well, just being practical. That's a sentiment. It's not actually intelligent. It's a sentiment. Right? I just want to be practical. What does it really mean? I don't have time to actually sit down and study these things, but I have a passion and a drive to, you know, organize and manage things. And taking care of my need is all that I can accommodate. That's the full translation of just being practical, Prabhu. Right? So we're just trying to make it very clear that you'll see again and again and again, Prabhupada's not going to budge from this. Right. Okay, and then he says that both the government and the peoples will be engaged in varnashram. So what does that mean? We're not talking here just the form. Form is for the common people. Form is not for leadership. Understand? If you're going to be a leader, that means you have to see that the form is something that gets something done. Right? You're out on the battlefield. Okay. Now, what is the point of being on a battlefield? Just so you can show off all your new weapons and, you know, how cool it is, you know, got all your armor on, doesn't that look nice, you know, drive around your chariot. You know, is that what it's for, cutting a profile? No, that's what the common person is doing. The common person is cutting a profile. The Kshatriyas are on the battlefield because there is a battle to be won. Now that battle has to be taken care of by... Can you pick that up and take it outside if you're going to bang it? You know, be all technical. Then. He's trying to win a war because there's a political situation in which another king... There's some reason that his own citizens will not be safe. And that's due to another king. Therefore, there's a battle. But the battle is not to fight. The battle is to protect his people. Understand? And the form he uses is a battle. He could use Sama, Dana, Beda, or Dunda. Right? He could talk nicely with the other king, try to reconcile things. If that doesn't work, then he can offer gifts and other things like that. If that doesn't work, he can point out consequences. And if that doesn't work, then he comes out and fights. Right? So those are techniques to use to protect his people. So that's important. So the form is there for a higher purpose. So that means Brahmins and Kshatriyas, they can see the purpose behind, the subtle element in the bigger picture. You know, the social picture. Like that. Does that make sense? So this is what is imperative that a leader is able to do. So that means as you are Krishna conscious, or as you are able to technically understand how these things relate to Krishna, then you'll be able to get whoever it is you're administrating to follow and be the same. Therefore, in this then, it's working the principle of how to see directly the Lord in whatever possible way you can. And in those ways that one is not naturally inclined towards that, how to see Him as Paramatma or minimum as Brahman. Right? This is what the government is supposed to be doing. This is what they're doing. Right? Now to do that, since the people are interested in, you know, Dharma, Artha, Kama, and Moksha, then they have to create an environment that the Varnashram system is there that will take care of their mundane needs, but it is in connection with the Lord. Right?
Right, you said that, I mean, I understood that if one can see, connect what he's doing to Krishna on the level of Bhagavan, then he doesn't need to connect on the level of Paramatma or Brahman.
Yes, if you can connect things on the platform of Bhagavan, you don't need to connect them on the other level. The point is to be connected to God. See, as Bhagavan means we don't necessarily have anything. Can you move this? Let's move it farther somewhere. It's hot. Thank you. Okay, thank you. Don't put it too far away, but you know, otherwise the mosquitoes come, you know. Just enough where we can still talk. Yeah, thank you. Because if you can see as Bhagavan, you don't need the other levels. The other levels are actually only there because we're in the material consciousness. The understanding of Brahman and Paramatma, though it's Krishna and it's transcendental, the understanding, they're understandings that are only necessary in the material world. Because in the spiritual world, everyone deals directly with Bhagavan. There's no need to deal with Paramatma or Brahman. So, but in the material world, that is necessary because one is worried about one's activities, right? One's activities, the results of activities, that's Paramatma. How does the world mechanically work in my interaction with it, in cause and effect? Right? That's Paramatma. And how I'm attracted to things and how I am the mechanics of what's actually going on with the material nature without me involved. That's Bhagavan. Right? Because the Lord is involved in the creation. And so how he's involved, that's Brahman, or Parabrahman, because we know it's Krishna. Like that. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. So it's like you see the resonance of the spiritual. The gopis, they see a black tree, but the black immediately goes to Krishna. So they've started with something observable, you know, that seemingly is not connected to Krishna, and then immediately connected to Krishna. Right? So they don't go through the stages of Brahman and Paramatma to get there. They just directly go to Bhagavan. But we may take it, okay, I'm managing because I actually like managing. Right? So then it means you manage for Krishna, yes, then that's connected. But the point is how much of what is our inspiration or drive? Our drive is actually our interest or taste in management. So then we have to be able to discern that according to the second verse of the chapter Shloki, that taste of management, that's Krishna. Right? And what is it? So what is it that's working? How does the management work? Right? I have to actually be aware of the field, which means I have to be situated in goodness. If I'm in goodness, I can see the present. If I'm in passion, I'll be thinking the future. If I'm ignorance, I'll be situated in the past. I won't be in the present. Action happens in the present. I'm not in the present. I'm not in touch with actually what's going on. Right? So then, what is happening? What is this field that's there? What are the elements? How do the elements connect to each other? I can only see that from the present. Right? Then, what element needs to be applied together to get the result that I want? Right? So that means being in the present means you have to be focused. That's the meaning of being focused, being aware, being conscious. Then I have to bring that to God conscious. Okay, of all the options of what I could do, what is pleasing to God? Right? So this whole mechanical process, this is seeing how everything with the super soul and the Brahman aspects are functioning. You understand? And one can go into more detail than that. Why does each thing work? You know? So it's like, okay, I give an order, someone follows it. But the potency of an order is Krishna. Right? And then others that could be there, the machinery that can follow that order, that's his internal potency. We see that we're dealing with Krishna and his internal potency. You don't see that, you're dealing with illusion. But you're engaging your illusion in Krishna's service, so ultimately you get benefit. But you won't get as much benefit if you're working without illusion. You understand? So this is what the king should be trying to do. See like this. Right? Because most people aren't seeing Krishna in everything. So this is how they can see it. One may say it's very technical, but this technicalness is meant for the general populace. Right? It's meant for them. Like, so we could say, oh, this is so intellectual, so high. But in the Vedic civilization, this is considered the bottom. This is where you start from. Right? So that's the reason why the Western mindset will say, oh, the Vedas don't apply. It's the 21st century. How does it apply? Because they're too unintelligent to actually appreciate the Vedic culture. It's not that it doesn't apply. That's like saying God's laws of nature don't apply. It's the 21st century. It's that foolish. Gravity doesn't work. People don't have to breathe. They don't have to eat. When they eat, they don't have to go to the toilet. You don't have to buy things cheaper than you sell it. It's the 21st century. Hey. You know what I'm saying? If you go through everything, anything in a person's life that they do, you can see it's on an eternal law of God. So to say it's the 21st century, this stuff doesn't apply, means you're not smart. You have to be foolish to say God's laws don't apply. Because the first premise that Prabhupada's making is the administrator has to base his thought and his perspective on Shastra. If he doesn't base it on Shastra, he actually can't be a leader. That's the basis. Not in this verse, in the previous verse that we did. has to be based on scripture. That's the basis. You know, Prabhupada, when there was that time, it was, I think, I'm not sure who it was. It was one brahmachari. They were in London. And they were talking about the moon landing. And Prabhupada said they didn't go to the moon. So eventually this devotee left out of lack of faith in this point. So Prabhupada was commenting, okay, I can understand he doesn't have faith in me. You know. But how can he doubt the scripture? If Bhagavatam says this, how can he doubt the scripture? So there's no room for doubting the scripture. But this is not blind faith. Because God created the creation, and God has given the scriptures on how the creation works. He creates according to the scriptures. What's written in scriptures, how Krishna creates it. Why? Because how he wants to create it is how he's written it in scripture. So to doubt the scripture means you don't even have a foundation for functioning. That's why you see those that try to manage without the scripture never get anywhere. They may get a little something here and there, and it very quickly falls apart. It can't be done. God's eternal. He's always there. You follow his rules. Then you're functioning, you're managing on eternal principles. Then it's got to be right. Now, so the point is that not accepting this as a position, that's unintelligent. So accepting it's intelligent. But being intelligent isn't enough. You have to use the intelligence. You have to apply the intelligence. That's the next position, right? You have to take your intelligence and actually use it to get something done. Right? Because otherwise, having intelligence is how you situate yourself. But in a situation, you have to work. Right? So that means, and work is done through the senses. Senses are controlled by intelligence. So if intelligence is controlling the work, you get a good result. But if only the mind is controlling the work, then you don't get a good result. Because then it's only your whim. Right? So that's why this system must be in place, is so that the human society works very nicely. Right? So is that okay? Okay. Yes?
In the application, the intellectual application and the activity of managing, somebody that is managing, protecting the people who is managing, is acting consequently under the platform of his male consideration, because he's protecting, he's giving protection.
Yes.
But at the same time, when he turns around, he's following all the higher authorities. Can you please elaborate in this principle that the person, besides being aware of all the three energies of the Lord, his own personal relationship with other persons also establishes in this learning of seniority?
Okay, so the dynamic between him as a leader and him as a follower. See, just a comment in general on questioning is that questioning is a very important part of our process. Some people don't like it. Some people, that is all that they function on. But those that make that their platform, they like to argue. Much of the time, they don't like their own position questioned. But questioning is another. You've heard the Shastra. You've heard what is given by Guru Sadhu Shastra. You want to know how to apply that. You either don't see a connection within the process, or you don't understand how to make it practical. That's where questioning is there. But the point is you're trying to come to the absolute truth. There's no option to doubt the absolute truth. Arjuna in the Gita is constantly asking questions. And he's pointing out he feels is contradictory. But he's looking for truth. He's not trying to win an argument. That's the important point. Submissive inquirer means you want to know. You're not. The challenging means you just want to win a fight. There's a difference. Like this. So the person who can actually question, he can be a leader because he can follow. The person who cannot be submissively inquire cannot be a leader because he can't follow. You understand? You can't, I mean, someone who had a very nice childhood, they were protected by their parents. They are naturally, as they grow up, a good parent. They don't have to go to some seminar. They know how to do it because it's just the inverse. You do one, you can do the other. Someone who grew up, didn't do well with their parents, didn't have parents, or whatever it is like that, when they grow up, they're one, either not so inclined to be a parent or don't know what to do. They go together. You can only be a teacher if you're a student. If you're studying and you have that submissive and quiet, you can get that from others. You understand? You don't mind washing the pots. Therefore, you can find somebody to wash the pots. You don't like washing pots. You'll always have a problem finding someone to wash pots. Always. It's not mystical. It's just what you can do, you can get others to do. What you can't do, you can't get them to do. Right? So in other words, if we see that people aren't following Varnashram, means that people who are in leadership position don't know Varnashram. They're not following it. Therefore, no one follows it. Right? We're saying people aren't submissive to them, don't care for the leadership because they don't care for who's above them. Right? Does that make sense? So, this is the position, is that one has to be able to have that relationship. If you respect authority, you will be respected. You don't respect authority, you will not be respected. It's simple. It's direct. Right? It's not some mystical thing. It's not some trick, right? That's the thing. In this seminar, you'll find no tricks because there aren't any, right? The point is you use your intelligence to the situation you're in. You know what you're trying to accomplish. You're trying to accomplish that in connection to Krishna. You will be successful. If not today, tomorrow. Because you're smart, you're using your intelligence and trying to figure it out. Management means dealing with what's going on right now and trying to get it to go in the direction that it should be going. So there's no trick, it's just hard work. Right? But it's the hard work that someone who is a manager and an administrator likes to do. Right? Everybody likes a challenge. Right? The businessman likes to go out into a new field, take something, figure out like that, and sell it and make money. That's the challenge. How to keep on top of that. As the market is changing, how to keep on top. It's a challenge, but he's comfortable in it. Right? So the administrator is comfortable in an environment of constant changing, that you always are having to organize things so that the place keeps going in a proper, organized fashion. It's not a problem. Right? So, therefore, that's what everyone's duty. Everyone's duty is what they actually like to do. That's the difference in the Vedic system and the modern. Vedic, you do what you like to do. Right? That's what Varnashram is. What is it that you actually like to do? Then do that at the same time as it does have its obligation. You like something, there's an obligation. The boy likes hanging out with the girl, fine. But there's an obligation for that. He has to take care of her. Right? You like managing the temple, fine, great. But there's an obligation. You have to do it day in, day out. You have to take the responsibility. Right? So that's what Varnashram is establishing. What is actually someone's nature? You can't change nature. You can purify it, but you cannot change it. How many times I've heard, yeah, you got to change your nature, Prabhu. That's illusion. It won't change. You can purify it, but you cannot change it. Right? That won't happen. Arjuna came up with, I'll change my nature in the first chapter of Gita. And Krishna said, you're a fool. You can't change your nature. You can purify it, but you can't change it. So that's the idea, is how to know what is everybody's nature and how to train them how to purify it and use it to the best of their ability. Bring them to the standard. That's what an administrator is to see to. Either if it's small enough, does it himself. Is it bigger? He employs other people to help. Right? That's the intelligent manager. He knows what he's trying to get done. This is what he's trying to get done. These great Rajarshis, why are they so great? Why is Yudhishthira so great? Why is Prithu Maharaj so great? Because they're God conscious. And they understand these formulas of administration. Right? That's the point. There's no tricks. There's formulas. And you have to be intelligent how to apply these formulas to the situation you're in. There's no trick. Through experience, then you learn, okay, when there's this, then you do this. Like when you, like on the street, you're distributing books. You know, if they say this, you say that, it generally works. But if it's not, then you have to use your intelligence. Now, just for fun, those things that work, that great personalities have when they apply the Vedic knowledge to the situation they're in, and it works, and so therefore they follow that pattern. That is called tradition. Tradition is there because it works. Now you're supposed to have intelligence and know why that tradition is working. If people lose the connection between the knowledge and the form of it, that's when you say, oh, this doesn't apply anymore. No, it still applies, you just don't know why it applies. Or you don't know how it applies. Right? Isn't it? It's just like these things, that kind of like gray, kind of zip up, you know, what do you call those things? You know, they're like, yeah, like you, not like this. What was it? It's this kind of thing. It's a kind of a jacket, you know. It's kind of gray and it's kind of a little fluffy. It's like a sweatshirt with a zipper and a hood on it, right? By tradition, that's one of the main piece garments of the ISKCON society. Why? Because it works. It's simple. It looks nice. It works good. It's cheap. It's easy to get. So it's become a tradition. Not that you have to wear that. Right? But it works. So therefore people do it. Right? Now, what's the new thing? Well, no, Crocs, right? You know, it's easy. You can get them wet. You can put them this, that. You can wear socks. Not wear socks, you know? Like this and that. Generally people won't steal them, right? So they work good. You know, who wants a pair of shoes with holes in it, right? You know, it's like that, you know? Your grandfather worked very hard to not have shoes with holes in it, right? You know, so it's like, you know what I'm saying? So this is tradition. It works. So this whole thing of, oh, that's just, you know, that's tradition. That's old fashioned. That means we're not willing to learn from others. In other words, someone who says we don't care for tradition is someone who does not care for authority. Right? One has to be able to, being authorities, you have to be able to distinguish between people who have authority issues. And if you have them yourself, you have to work on them. Otherwise, you'll find, to that degree, you have authority issues, even though you're an authority. You're an authority. If you have authority issues and you're an authority, it's because you don't want anyone else on top of you. It's not so much that you need to protect and God. You just want to protect yourself. We have them. We have a lot of devotees in a lot of senior positions that have authority issues. And you see, they can't get anything done. They're great people. They're really nice. You can associate with them, have a good time, be comfortable. But when it comes to management, you know, they can't manage their way out of a wet paper bag. And I'm not joking. You go to their zones, look at their temples, and you'll see what state they are in today. They were like that 20 years ago. Nothing has happened except that it's fallen apart. So that's one of the. That's not saying that if someone has a falling apart, it means they have authority issues. It just may be they're not a good manager. But it doesn't mean they can't be a good leader. That's the whole point about leadership. You don't necessarily have to be a good manager, but you have to be able to distinguish, are you a manager or not? And if you are, to what degree? Because leadership means you don't have to do it yourself. You're inspired. You can inspire others. They'll manage it if you're not a manager. That's the important thing. Leadership doesn't require that. That's the thing, is the society doesn't need more bureaucracy. It needs leaders. Those who are bureaucrats will do their job anyway. That's what they're good at. But you need a leader to engage them. Right? If you can do your own, you know, papers and accounts and this and that, great. Then it makes it easier. You're on top of it. You won't be fooled. But if you can't, it doesn't matter. You find somebody who can. And if you're a leader, you will find. Because people like following leadership. Right? So, does that make sense? That. So it's very practical, down to earth. Yes. Does one have to be experienced to be a good leader? No. Because a good leader will take advantage of others' experience. You understand? He's smart, so he can distinguish between what is actually in connection with reality and what's not. That's what makes him a leader. It's intelligence that makes him a leader. That dynamism. Because in the category of intelligence is action. Action and intelligence go together. If you have one, only intelligence, you have the armchair philosopher. And if you have the other, you have the fruitive worker. Right? So the karmi is working hard, doesn't have proper knowledge. The jnani, he has knowledge, but he doesn't apply it. So both are useless. So a actual leader has both. Because that's what Abhideya is. The chit potency, which is the form of the Abhideya, is knowledge and action. Does that make sense? So now, just like, let's say, I was in one zone, and the discussion was about family life. You know, and how husband and wife can deal with each other. So some discussions were going on, and then one elderly gentleman, you know, would have been like in his, you know, 60s, raised his hand. And he said, what am I supposed to do? Says, I'm new to this community. I only joined, like, let's say, a year or two ago. I'm not initiated yet. But I've been married to the same woman for the last 40 years. And our marriage, you know, by all means, you know, is working nicely. But if I make a suggestion to all these young people who are in charge, they will reject it because, oh, you're not initiated. So what do you know? That's not management. And that same zone is still making the same mistakes. You understand? That's not intelligent. That's not leadership. Leadership means you know how to take advantage. Vikramaditya was famous because of his ministers. The nine jewels. Any big king is famous because he is so good, he attracts ministers that are good. So, if he doesn't have experience, it doesn't matter. The king is 16 years old, he's on the throne, but his ministers may be 40, 50 years old. That's intelligent. That's a leader. Right? In other words, someone who has experience in that, you take it. That's intelligent. And the point is it doesn't matter where it comes from. Gold is valuable no matter where it comes from. Right? Just like I can say in my own life, I got the best advice on smoking from a chain smoker. They convinced me smoking is bad. That's the point. Is who has the experience, they can say. But it has to be practical. You know, that's the point. As an administrator has to surround himself with people who understand the connection between the theory and the practical. Right? because they only know practical, they can only do so much. So you get their experience on the practical. Those who only know theory, you get what they can understand. You have to put it together. But if you have people that know both, that's what you're looking for. That those are your main people that assist you in your administration. Yes? What is the primary duties of a leader? Protection. Manu mentions that of the varnas, then your essential qualities of a Brahmin is studying and teaching. Everything else is around that. A Kshatriya, it's protection. Right? For a Vaishya, it's making profit and giving in charity. And for a Shudra, it's assisting the others. That's the essential point. Everything else is in support of that. So protection is the main thing. You have a temple, or you have a zone, or whatever you have to protect it. That means they have to be, you know, Krishna conscious, they have to have their material facilities, you know, they have to intellectually, mentally, sensually be taken care of. Right? All these things have to be seen to. That's protection. In that environment, people will be satisfied. They will work very hard. An unsatisfied person doesn't work very hard. A satisfied person gives his life. So we see Yudhishthira, when he walked out of the kingdom, his citizenry followed. And they said, you know, Duryodhana can sit there and manage himself. Right? He had to convince them to go back. That's leadership. Right? Because they felt protected. Duryodhana was a good manager. He was a good administrator. You never hear one complaint about his or his father's administration. They were very good. His father, Dhritarashtra, is called a Rajarshi, because he is. His weakness is his attachment to his son. Then the illusion comes and he does things. But other than that, they were perfect managers. But the people didn't feel protected. Therefore, they weren't inclined. Yudhishthira, they felt protected. That's the whole thing. A temple devotee will do anything for a temple president who he feels he's protected by. And if he doesn't feel protected, how hard will he work? So he'll just work hard enough so that he'll be able to stay there. These are realities. Yes?
What would be the standard tradition on the topic of women being managers in this country?
What would be the stand on the tradition of women being managers? Women being managers in here is, because you use the term women, then one has to know what is a woman. What is the nature of woman? If that's understood, then she can manage. So management's not a problem. It's a matter of what is the nature of the management. Like, let us say, in the palace, right? You have the queen. The queen is managing the palace. The king doesn't manage the palace, right? So that means, you know, Draupadi, she's got thousands of maidservants and manservants. She's managing that. The funds of the palace, paying everyone, seeing all the things, all the, you know, what they need for food, this, that, she's taking care of. You know, she's doing management, and I guarantee you, we don't have people in our movement that can manage on the level she can manage. You know, and I'm talking our top people, because I've seen it. They can't manage that big. So she's doing bigger management than anybody that we know of. But she's not doing administration. You understand? Management is not, because it's an art. Women are artists, so they can do an art as good or better than a man. That's not a problem, right? Women are intelligent. They're four times more clever than a man. It doesn't say they're more intelligent, they're more clever. Clever means applied intelligence, right? Theorizing, philosophizing, men do better at that because they can separate the intelligent from the emotions and just go off into intelligence. Women can't do that. Women, the mind will always be part of any intellectual consideration, right? Their own feelings, their own needs. So that is where the weakness comes in. right? It's their strength in that because it's there, they have, they, you know, from the art point of view, they want that result and the experience that comes from it. But the weakness will be the intellectual platform will not be so strong because the mind will be part of it. So that would mean if a woman is going to manage, in other words, she can manage, not administrate. So she'll have to have other people doing those things of administration. If she's able to relate to things like the books and this and that, then she does it because it's also can be an art. In other words, she has to know that she's approaching everything from the platform of the art. She's using the science, but it's from the platform of the art. Does that make sense? Like that. Then it will be strong. But she also has to see that she has support. Because in dealing with it, one of the main drives is that sense of possession. Let's say that she's a temple president. It will be her temple, right? And she's sharing what she has in her temple. So she likes who's in the temple. She makes nice arrangements. They annoy her. She doesn't. Right? So it's not from a sense of duty that this is the standard I have to take care of the devotees like the man would have to look at it. She'll look at it, what do they deserve by how they're behaving? You know what I'm saying? The wife cooks for the husband according to what he deserves. Right? Not according to what he should get. You understand? So a woman manager is going to work like that. We may say, oh, but we're beyond this body. But if we're beyond this body, why did we use the word woman? You know what I'm saying? We're very bodily conscious when we're making these feministic statements about, you know, women. We'll say, oh, we're not this body, Prabhu. But then why did you bring up the body in the first place? Goswamis are sitting around talking Radha Krishna Leela. They're not talking bodies. Right, so Bhagavat platform does not include Pancharatra Vedic. And that means you're working specifically on the direct activities of devotional service. Hearing, chanting, remembering about God. That's Bhagavat. You know, initiation, that's Pancharatric. That does consider your conditioned nature. Right? Vedic definitely considers your conditioned nature because that's what it's all about. Does this make sense? Yeah? So that wasn't on what you said. That was a generic statement. Okay? So the point is then a woman manager would have to see that she has some support to fall back on. I'll give you a very direct example. You've probably all heard of Margaret Thatcher, right? She was known as the Iron Lady. She was one of the toughest managers, you know, in, you know, modern history. And she, as a prime minister, she managed, after she was not the prime minister, she was still a very major force in the English government. Until one day, and she retired. What was that day? The day her husband died. Then she said, I'm retiring. Because she said, the only reason I could do what I do is because I had the support of my husband. So that means that she could do that work meant he was a damn good husband. Otherwise, she couldn't have done that work. Because she's out there and she's doing, but she knows she's a woman. She knows who she is. That's why she could do it. These women who don't know they're women, they're jumping up and down and want to be in control. They're not in control. Why? Because they don't know who they are. You know, this movement is self-realization. It's based on the self. So if you don't know who you are, you can't deal with anybody else. Right? So we have to see, one, is the nature of the soul, and two, our conditioned nature. Does that make sense? Yeah? Does that work? Mm-hmm. So she would have to have some kind of support. Like that. Yes?
What if there's no support, let's say, in the movement?
What if there's no support in the movement? Then that's what you should be jumping up and down about. Not, you know, women's rights. It should be, you know, why don't the men get it together and start acting like men instead of a bunch of wussy, you know, mama's boys?
Hey.
Yeah, and I mean that. And I'll throw that in anyone's face. I don't mind. You know? You understand? That's what the women should be jumping up and down about. Where are the men? Where'd they go? You know? You know, I realize most of them were killed off in World War I and World War II, but you'd think that we'd be able to put together a few of them in the time that's left, you know. I mean, it's been, what, 60 years now. You know, we could probably do something, you know. You understand? That should be the point. Why aren't the men trained? Why aren't they becoming good brahmacharis? Why aren't they got like that? That was the thing. Then they'll be able to give the proper environment. If a woman can manage and it's favorable, why not? But, you know, say, the problem is not whether women manage or not. It's whether they are women and they're supported as women. That's the problem. The Vedic is talking about that. We take it, no, it's this particular form. But that's, as I mentioned, a leader has to be able to go beyond form. That doesn't mean he neglects form. He knows what is beyond the form. That's like you have a knife. What's the importance of a knife? Its shape, it looks really good, it's stainless steel, the handle on it, this, that. Well, what's good, what's the important thing of a knife? It cuts. If you can't see it cuts, you don't know what a knife is. You know, it's some prestige thing, it's some far out thing, it's this, that, you know. Oh, it's this kind, it's that. But you don't know what a knife is. So that's the thing, one has to know. What is a man? What is a woman? What's a Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra? What is a Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha? You don't know that. You don't know how to deal with people. Yes?
So, would you say that if in the movement there is more understanding about the concept of what is man, what is woman, there would be more productivity coming out of women?
There would be more productivity coming out of women? It means if the masculine feminine principle was understood, would there be more productivity coming out of women? I would say there'd be more productivity coming out of everything. Because the point is what are things that are big considerations that are problems within the society? They're social. And where does that go back to? Women. If the women aren't satisfied, you can't have a social system. There is no social system. There is no, because the women aren't satisfied. It's very simple. Like that. Men may agree or may not agree, but generally the men that wouldn't agree don't know what a man is. That's the problem. Men have an idea. They think they know what they are, but they're not. You know. Now, another, one may say, well, what's so important about it? Shankya philosophy is based, actually, it's one of its core principles is the masculine feminine principle. Because everything is masculine and feminine. God is masculine, his creation is feminine. How is that interaction? How does God enter everything? How does the feminine respond to that? You know, how does the living entity is feminine? How does God respond to that as masculine? Like that. Because it's a principle. What is the active and passive principle? What is making the first step? What's following? What is making that first step based upon the mood and nature of the other person? Right? Does that make sense? So, it's nicely explained through male and female, meaning like husband and wife relationships, because it's the most complex in everything. But it actually applies to everything. Parents are the masculine principle. Children are the feminine principle. The leader is the masculine principle. The citizenry is the feminine principle. You understand like that? So that is the knife is the masculine, the potato is the feminine principle. You know, so all these different things, you understand it, you understand how the nature of things works. This is what Varnashram teaches. We say, oh, it's just this form of a bunch of old stuff. It's philosophy that's so far beyond these fat, block-headed people that they can't understand it. That's why they reject it. Otherwise, if it was so bad, why would the demons, who are completely materialistic to the nth degree, why would they follow it? You know, why would Ravana, why would Kumbhakarna, why would, Hiranyakashipu, you know, Dantavakra, Shishupa, why would they follow Varnashram if it wasn't the materialistic best way to get the most out of material nature? And then we're saying it doesn't work? Indra, right now, today, in the 21st century, is following Varnashram. So are all the demigods. And the demigods are opening and closing your eyes and making your nose work and your ears work and, you know, your skin work. And 33 million people are following it. And they run the universe. It seems to work in the 21st century. So the only thing that's changed in the 21st century is people's attitude, not the laws of nature. People don't care. That doesn't mean it changes the laws of nature. Does that make sense? Like that. Yes.
Since I'm one of the misleaders in the movement.
No, we're talking in general about this. It's not a matter of that, because this is a group of leaders, so you have to use some practical examples.
But when I was a new devotee, a lot of people here are new devotees, and I'm about to learn how to become a leader. Srila Prabhupada wrote me a letter.
Ah.
Gave me a hint how to be a good leader.
Ah, okay.
He said, in the spiritual world, Krishna appreciates the service of Radharani as well as that of the calf. He said, and this is my hint to you, always appreciate the service.
Ah, okay, very good. Very good.
God's sisters.
Very good.
And then, in the same letter, he said that strictly follow the regulative principles and our regular program, Mangal Arati. And if you do this with faith, Krishna will give you the intelligence by which you can become a good leader.
Okay, very good.
And actually, that's more or less a paraphrase of a Bhagavad Gita verse, Shadavala Bhutepuram Tatvara Samyatendriya. In other words, if a person, the whole question is the position of a leader is a person who has more faith in Prabhupada and Krishna and the Vedic scriptures than the other people.
Yes.
Therefore, he can lead and he can follow.
Yes.
Now, the question is, how do you develop that faith? Samyatendriya. You develop it by controlling the senses through regulated devotional service, under the observation of other people in a straightforward way. And by following with faith, you develop wisdom by which you can see the practical application of philosophy. And that's what leadership is about. People who follow cannot always see what's the best course or how can we apply the philosophy to this particular situation. So a leader is a person who has more faith because of following sincerely and having taken responsibility. And the responsibility accumulates incrementally. You don't become a leader overnight. You begin by washing the dishes, but doing a good job at it.
Mm-hmm.
Cleaning the toilet, but doing a good job at it. And understanding how that relates to Krishna and not wanting to be glorified for doing something. Simply humbly do it. And little by little, Krishna reveals to such a person what they need in order to become a good leader. But the overriding thing is what Prabhupada said, always appreciate the service of the devotee.
No, very good. Very good. Yeah, could you all hear?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, see, because in here is that to do this, that's why in the third canto, then Kapila Muni is making this point is that you're worshiping him. But so, unless you see others, that worship is not going to be very much appreciated by him. So, in other words, if you're going to deal with others, like when you're going to practically apply yourself in a management situation with a person or a group of people, you have to see what is their purpose, right? What is their purpose? What are they? What is right? Then you can actually appreciate what's not right, right? Because what's right is what's supposed to be done. What's not right, that's what has to be changed. So unless you can see what's right, you actually won't be able to deal with the situation. Because you will, if you only see what's wrong, then basically you'll come to the conclusion either the person doesn't belong there or some other plan of action, when there may be very, it's everything's very nice, but one thing's wrong. Just like we were saying, Duryodhana and his father, great managers, great administrators, but they weren't God conscious. You change that, then they would have been fine. Right? So that's why you see Yudhishthir was appreciating that. He wasn't worried that if I go out into the forest for 14 years, the citizens won't be taken care of nicely. He knows they will be because they're good administrators. Problem is they're not God conscious. So in that way, you have to appreciate, just like even we say, we go back just to, you know, follow the thing he was saying there. We're saying about how people are misconstruing or not having faith in the Vedic culture, this or that, or so many things. But what is actually their purpose behind it? Their purpose is they're trying to come up with something that actually works for the society, you know, it applied at the present, which is a management principle. As we said, you have to deal with the present. So they're seeing the environment of the present and seeing that the form that has they understand of the Vedic culture doesn't seem to work. They haven't, you know, they've tried to apply it, it doesn't seem to work. So they're trying to find some method that it does work for the devotees in their environment. You understand? So the purpose is sincere. They want to please Krishna, they want to please Prabhupada. But they may not have the understanding or training in that particular area. So then that'll be a weakness. So what we're talking about is improve that weakness. Right? There's no, in any of these discussions, it should be understood. Let's make it very clear right now. It's, you know, if we're going to start from administration at the top, the GBC, these are our most dedicated and proven devotees in the movement that have taken that responsibility and have done it for years. They are. One has to start from that. Any comments we be making, that is based on where that weakness is. We're not doubting their knowledge of Krishna consciousness. We're not doubting their sincerity in trying to do something for Krishna and trying to please Krishna and Prabhupada. We're talking about as you trying to be administrators and leaders, if you are going, you have to see what are points that if you don't get, it will create a weakness. Right? And as administrators, I've generally seen is no one satisfied with just some, you know, philosophy. It has to be practical. Therefore, we'll give a practical example of something within your purview. You know? And we're trying to avoid, you know, more, you know, prickly ones. Does that make sense? So we're working on the premise that the system that Prabhupada has established, the GBC, the temple presidents, sannyasis, gurus, that's all going to stay in place. There's no question of any adjustment because that's the way it is and the way it has been and where it will be. It's a matter of how within that to use your intelligence to actually be able to apply yourself so that you can make it dynamic in your sphere of influence. Understand? So we're taking it as a given that that's understood. Like that. Does that make sense? Otherwise, why do we talk tradition? Tradition means authority. So that means we have to accept authority. Like that. We don't accept authority, nothing works, because ultimately God's the supreme authority. Does this make sense? Like that. Okay. We should end here. We're already over time. So we'll continue tomorrow. Okay? Thank you. Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinda ki, Natai Gaura Premanandi. Thank you.